Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Tuesday, March 4th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news stories from around Wyoming. Governor Mark Gordon nixed four bills on Monday, in addition to signing 16 and allowing one to become law without his signature. The vetoes include requiring a transvaginal ultrasound before prescribing abortion pills. Gordon also vetoed removing the cap on charter schools. Currently, Wyoming has 8 charter schools, and more cannot be authorized until after July of 2026. Gordon cited the recent ruling that the state is underfunding the public school system. He also nixed a bill that would have extended the Hathaway scholarship to technical schools, mainly because the bill did not fund it. The fourth veto was on a bill to prohibit drones flying over critical infrastructure. Gordon says it goes against federal aviation law. Gordon did let one bill become law without a signature. It creates a loan program for small businesses hit hard by a natural disaster like last summer's fires. The governor said he thinks a grant program would have been a more effective solution for restoring impacted lands. Gordon vetoed a bill that would have required pregnant Wyomingites to get a transvaginal ultrasound at least 48 hours before being prescribed abortion pills. Transvaginal ultrasounds require a wand-like device to be inserted in a woman's vagina. The bill included a requirement for the physician to tell women details about the embryo or fetus and ensure that they view its heartbeat. Those who supported the bill said it was about keeping women safe while abortion remains legal in Wyoming. Its opponents, however, said the legislation was medically unnecessary and cruel. In his veto explanation, Gordon wrote, quote, "If this act were to become law, it creates the prospect of an unnecessary, intimate, and invasive procedure which subjects women to an uncomfortable and potentially traumatic experience," end quote. Wyoming lawmakers have voted against calling for a rare national convention to propose amendments to the U.S. Constitution. Supporters saw this as a way to limit federal power and give more control to the states. But critics were concerned that amending the Constitution would hurt our democracy. They said Congress should be the one to propose amendments. Article 5 of the Constitution says states can also call for a convention if 34 are on board. Thus far, 19 have called for a convention to create term limits for federal officials and limit national spending and regulation. This is the closest Wyoming has come to joining that list, but the resolution failed in the House 25-32. Idaho is still considering calling for a convention. The Wyoming House and Senate are in a standoff over the session's last remaining affordable housing bill. Wyoming Public Radio's Jeff Victor reports senators are frustrated with the late-stage amendment.
Senate File 40 started as a simple piece of legislation, clocking in at under 2 pages. The bill raises the bar for protest petitions, making it a little harder for neighbors to stop a housing development going in next door. It's the kind of bill housing advocates have been fighting for. But when it hit the House, representatives tacked on a major expansion, language forbidding cities from imposing development fees to support affordable housing. Jackson currently does this. Several senators, including Democrat Chris Rothfuss of Laramie, say the amendment is so removed from the bill's original purpose that it violates the Senate's rules.
The Senate is not going to stand for it, and we're going to not even consider the underlying policy considerations.
Senators said they're still willing to work the bill if the House agrees to drop the amendment. Lawmakers have until Wednesday to come up with a compromise. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Jeff Victor.
Around 100 Wyoming workers gathered at the state capitol on Friday to protest state and federal cuts. Wyoming Public Radio's Caitlin Tan has more.
Steel-toed boots, cowboy hats, suits, union membership swag all peppered the crowd. One sign read, "Trump and Musk are against us."
It's scary that the highest tier of government is in such disarray right now.
Cameron Tibbetts is a union sheet metal worker in Cheyenne. He's protested before, but
this affects me more directly than a lot of the other ones I've been to.
He's worried about the dismantling of the federal government, including the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Travis Allen, a Cheyenne union pipe fitter, says OSHA keeps workplace standards high.
If the stuff that we do isn't done correctly, people get hurt or die.
Federal legislation to abolish OSHA was recently introduced by an Arizona Republican senator. Supporters say the federal government shouldn't regulate private workplaces. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Caitlin Tan.
A bill expanding the state's private school voucher program is headed to the governor's desk. Wyoming Public Radio's Jeff Victor reports the bill was altered significantly in both the House and the Senate.
If Governor Mark Gordon signs House Bill 199 into law, the Steamboat Legacy Scholarship it creates will reimburse families for private school tuition with state dollars. Wyoming already has a voucher program, but the new bill raises the payout and opens the program to every family, regardless of how much the parents earn. The current program includes funding for pre-K tuition, but lawmakers disagreed this session about whether that should continue. The House passed a version with no pre-K. The Senate passed a version with universal pre-K. After a lengthy negotiation, lawmakers agreed to limited pre-K tuition, accessible only to low-income families. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Jeff Victor.
3 weeks ago, Jackson experienced its first confirmed presence of federal immigration enforcement agencies since the Trump administration returned to the White House. Jackson Hole Community Radio's Jenna McMurtry reports a lot remains unknown.
After an ICE sighting was confirmed in early February, Teton County Sheriff Matt Carr told KHOL he'd heard ICE was looking for 17 Jackson residents. As of Wednesday, Carr says that number is still unconfirmed, as he still hasn't seen any of the warrants. Through conversations with an immigration attorney who usually receives those clients, KHOL has only confirmed one of those warrants exists. Rosie Reed with the Wyoming Immigration Advocacy Project says that 17 warrants would be very high for one raid.
If they really did come to execute 17 administrative warrants, that would have been pretty unheard of under the Biden administration.
She said warrants in general often don't involve a judge, meaning they likely wouldn't have granted ICE permission to enter private spaces. Seeking individuals in town rather than through the jail system also marks a drastic shift from the Biden administration, which typically only sought individuals convicted of violent crimes. Jenna McMurtry, KHOL News.
And now let's hear from Ivy Engel with some lighter stories from around Wyoming.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. A Northwest College student has battled the odds and come out on top. The Casper Star Tribune reports Thea Farrington suffered a major brain injury in a car crash, upending her life. But now, while enrolled in 24 credit hours, she maintains a 3.95 GPA. She also runs a consulting company for small businesses, is an active member in the school's Gay Straight Alliance, started her own nonprofit, and created a space for American Sign Language learners. A Wyoming Air National Guardsman has won a national award. First Sergeant Melissa Mendez helps her fellow service members by identifying and addressing issues before they can escalate and creating a positive environment. She has improved interagency collaboration and developed a resource matrix to assist approximately 3,000 Guard members in navigating work-life challenges and preventing crises. BSA Troop 8 in Rock Springs has a new Eagle Scout. The Rock Springs Rocket Miner reports Logan McCann, in turn, pinned several community members and his parents in recognition of all of the support that got him here. And Bill and Rosemary Denton celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary earlier this month. Congratulations! For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And now for today's trivia question. Who were the Black 14, and what incident led to their notoriety? Send us your answers for all five of this week's trivia questions to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com, and we'll crown winners on Monday. That's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Join me again tomorrow. And remember to subscribe to get Wyoming Debrief automatically downloaded to your phone and start your day on an informed foot. While you're there, please consider leaving us a review so that other people can find us.